This is the Gospel Revolution.
Since you're knocking on the door, you're begging to come in, yeah. Unaware that all the wildness been knocking from within. You are the love you seek, a perfect gift you need, righteous and holy.
Here's the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Lilborn Williams.
All of that and a bag of chips, too.
Here you are, the great unteacher.
Good day, good morning, good evening, afternoon.
Wait, last week you had a new title added. You are the great liar.
Oh, yes, I did. Oh, my gosh, was that not off the chain or what? But I was rehearsing it to somebody and I realized how true that is, you know, as that verse, let God be true and every man a liar. So everything that I don't know about truth, I'm speaking a lie. So I'm comfortable with being a liar.
Yeah, me too.
You know, we were talking just before the show started about Don. I've been missing Don. Here and I've just had so many thoughts about him. Obvious, just the good things. So, and so many wonderful things to recall. I was thinking about what Don did and his preparation in the end for his passing. I was talking about mentioned to Daniel. I said, "Well, I don't know what all Don passed on, but." I do know that his most treasured possession in this whole life, Daniel got it. Now, can you imagine what it is that was the most treasured possession that Don Bartlett held that was bequeathed to Daniel? Don knew he was giving it to Daniel. I mean, it might as well have been written out in a will, you know, signed in blood. And that is the big red button. You now own at the bequeathal Donald Allen Beresford Bartlett, the big red button. That is a coveted thing.
That reminds me of my training about the big red button when Michael and Don had asked me about helping out because Don was losing his sight and getting into editing was quite hard because you're looking at these little tiny lines on the screen. So Don started showing me how to do it. And the first couple times I did it, he said, you're a little heavy on the big red button because I was going in and taking out spaces and different things like that. And he says, you got to let the conversation, you know, let the pauses in and all of that kind of stuff. And, he told me I was a little heavy on the big red button. So,
yeah. And I've only had one comment about the big red button that I've encouraged the guys is that you can edit me from one end to the other, but you cannot censor me. I had to tell Don that because if he didn't like what I said, he'd just big red button me right out. And I didn't know it until I started listening. And it's like, but wait a minute, that's where I said this really wonderful thing. But he didn't like it. So there's a difference between an edit and a censorship. So.
Yep.
Yep. So anyway, Daniel has done a fine job with the big red button. I know that Don would approve.
Thank you. Well, anyways, last week, Michael, we just simply kind of were reminiscing about the conference that we just completed about the pseudographical writings inserted into the New Testament. And if you don't have any idea what we're talking about, we just want to do a quick mention. Go to our YouTube channel, best way to find it, Gospel Revolution with the number one. And right at the top of the list there, you'll see our recent 2023 fall conference. And Michael and I went through Matthew through Revelation, and we were on the hunt for pseudographical writings. And we also had the intention of dividing the writings of Paul and Apollos apart from the other disciples and apostles. And that's what the whole conference was about. So you want to take advantage of that. What a wonderful work that I think was done, because it really contrasts and shows us the contrast between the gospel and the other gospel, which Paul said was no gospel at all.
That is indeed the truth. And, you know, I learned something, Daniel. You know, I did not, there was something I was not clicking on. And now that I've already clicked on it, because I was getting all kinds of stuff on the Gospel Revolution 1 page.
Mm-hmm.
But then somebody asked me, well, did you click on this after you went to Gospel Revolution? And I wasn't. I don't know if anybody else is having that problem or not. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because, I mean, I was having everybody that had anything with the name Gospel Revolution Church. And that's what's up here now. So how do I get off of that? Gospel Revolution 1?
Yeah. So what you want to do, if you just went into the search bar and typed in Gospel Revolution with the number 1, you'll see some videos, but what you want to look for is our black and white GR logo. And when you click on that, that'll actually bring up our
personal page.
And from there, you can see the Calgary conferences, you can see the Tuesday night Bible studies, and they're all in a nice organized list there.
Yeah, I think it's important. From now on, when we do anything about that, because here I am, the founder and president, and I was going through this mess. But we need to also add that when you go to Gospel Revolution 1 on your search at YouTube, be sure and click on the round GR black and white symbol, and that will eliminate all those other things that, oh, geez.
All you want to see is us. And then also, when you're on that page, you can search just within our own page. So after, under the title and all of that, if you're looking on a computer, you'll see a little magnifying glass underneath our logo. And if you look at that, if you search from there, then you search just our GR content as opposed to all of YouTube, which you would search in the top bar.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, that's good information, right?
Yes, indeed.
It certainly helped me. Oh my gosh, I was so frustrated. I was about to call Daniel and say, we got to do something about this. This is so confusing. We tell people to go to YouTube, and then somebody said, well, and it's like, oh, there it is.
An alternative access to that is if you just go to gospelrevolution.com, and if you hit the watch icon in the top menu, that'll bring you right to our YouTube homepage, and you'll bypass any other content.
Wonderful. All right. That was good instruction. Now that we've done our housework, you know, I listened to the program last week, and we recapped everything and had more comments to say about it, but we didn't teach anything new. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we've ever done that before.
Yeah.
So we need to get to some teaching here.
Well, what do we want to talk about?
I tell you, the thing that got on my mind, and I know it's been on your mind, I've had so many conversations about this. And I have friends that just, you know, when they just get so exasperated with trying to figure out what the truth is, they say, well, I just go by the teachings of Jesus.
Wow.
And we, of course, have made the comments that that just isn't possible. And we've made one or two points.
Mm-hmm.
So what Daniel and I did is began to look for the commandments and teachings of Christ. And we're just wanting to examine, is anyone living by the teachings and the commandments of Christ? It's going to be a very important series. Hang on, because this one is going to go for several weeks, I think, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, Michael, I used to teach that in my church, that, you know, we just follow that. And I think one of the apostles even writes that in their book, to follow the commandments of the apostles and of Christ.
Yes.
And I certainly had many sermons about the teachings and yes. commandments of Christ.
And we find those in 1 John, and I think Peter also, and also in the Pseudographicals. There mm-hmm. he is. But Paul never said that.
Right.
Apollos never said that. But the Pseudographicals and John and Peter both can't remember specifically James saying to follow the teachings of Christ. He just didn't like rich people. So.
You know, and of course, along with not following the teachings of Christ, Michael, is where we got our very damning doctrines about going to hell. That if you don't follow the teachings of Christ, because that's within the teachings of Christ, mm-hmm. you know, at least the way it was interpreted, is that you don't follow the teachings and commandments of Christ, you're going to burn in hell forever and ever.
That, and you know, the thing that kind of tipped the scales for me of the great need for this was somebody had brought up again, times 1,000, that Jesus said that all you have to do is love God. The only commandment Jesus gives is love God with all your soul, your strength, your might, your body, your cars, your laundry detergent. Just love him with everything you got and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, then, of course, then one of the comments, I think it's within the, we will segregate this very clearly for you. But another one of the comments, and I know nobody that does that, you know,
right. Yeah.
I've never done that. I pay my bills, not my neighbor's bills. If I love my neighbor as myself, wouldn't I be checking to make sure that they've been able to make all their payments this month, you know?
Right.
So I don't, you know, then the other thing was, I've always thought it was such a nice verse about being, Jesus saying, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Mm.
Then he said, and you are my friends if you keep my commandments.
So, oh, wow.
So Jesus died on the cross with no friends.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't die for his friends.
Mm.
Jesus died for his enemies.
Wow.
And we were all enemies, according to Paul. And that tipped me over the scale. It's like, okay, this is another mammoth job in front of us. Because people are being duped by the incomplete statements, the teachings that only take part of something out, and then pretend that you're following the teachings and commandments of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, yeah, that one got me. That one, I mean, the friends. Of course, I've been on that one about loving God with all your strength and your soul and your might and love your neighbor as yourself. And the greatest commandment is love. That's all we got to do. But then you look at Jesus's definition of love, and it's like, I'd rather keep all the 10 commandments or all the 300 commandments other than try to measure up to that kind of love.
Yeah.
No wonder love is the fulfillment of all commandments, because it's the one thing nobody can do. You might be able to do some of the others, but not just like the rich young ruler. You know, Jesus gave him, what, 5 or 6 things to do. And my goodness, did he get excited? He said, I have kept all of those from my birth up till now. And then, of course, the conscience will not allow any man to be satisfied with union with God through works. Your yeah. conscience is not built to be satisfied with that. So he opened his dumb mouth and he said, so what else do I have to do?
Come on, man.
So Jesus thought, if he's that dumb, I'm going to add a commandment that isn't even in the scriptures.
Mm.
All right, so go sell everything you have and give it to the poor.
Yeah.
And his jaw hit the floor, to say the least. He probably wet himself, you know? And there he was, wet his jaw hanging on the ground and just being perplexed because he was not going to be able to have eternal life.
Mm.
And it says he just turned away and walked away from the wet ground and his jaw dragging the ground. And he just turned around and walked away.
Yeah.
He didn't have anything else to say. He should have stayed quiet after Jesus told him what to do. And I've done all five of these.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever ask what else.
Yeah.
I stopped that so many years ago. I know in our Word of Faith movement, one of our things was to constantly be looking inside of us for what was wrong, that dark place, mm-hmm. that secret place that, oh my gosh. And I saw it and I repented, repainted, re-upped, re-annied all I could. And I just got absolutely exhausted with finding out what was wrong with me. And it just never ended.
Mm-hmm.
So I just quit. And thankfully, that's about the same time as I was quitting that, I was able to quit that, that self, horrible self-examination for everything, just like communion. We'll be going to be addressing that also in the teachings of Christ. So the exploration inside myself was being traded in for the understanding that I was already perfect.
Mm.
So that's what stopped the self-examination thing, and I traded that in. Daniel and I were talking beforehand, and just this past week, I've been thinking about every ministry seems to be trying to perfect daily life.
Yeah.
That's what the manifest sons of God is. And I understand the manifest sons of God. You know, it's not a bad intention that they have. They're really, what's happened, why do people turn to the manifest sons doctrine? Because these are people that want to help people more than anything else. They want to heal the sick. They want to cleanse the lepers. They want to raise the dead. So becoming a manifest son then is the key to being able to, since we've tried everything else,
mm-hmm.
we've done all the things, we've given our brains out, we've done this, we've done that. So we now know the problem. We have simply not manifested as a son of God. And I ran into that doctrine more than 30 years ago, and it was sad to see the results of it. All of these people died without ever having manifested
yeah.
as a son of God. Or they became liars.
Mm.
And nobody was ever able to walk into a room with somebody with Down syndrome and walk out with that person no longer with Down syndrome, or somebody who didn't have legs, no matter whether they were practicing, attempting, manifesting the sons of God, which again we went into, and that was the manifestation of the Son of God. And even the other words were added to pluralize that. And it's not plural. Mm-hmm. We only needed the manifestation of one son. And that was it. And the manifestation of that son was the manifestation of all sons.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So the teachings of Jesus are, they're a go-to when people don't want to think about this anymore.
Yeah.
Well, as long as you follow the teachings of Jesus, you'll be all right. Well, we're going to find out how all right you will be if you follow the teachings and the commandments of Jesus. Now, one thing that you're going to notice is we're not going to be teaching on the parables. Because, Daniel, we kind of figured out the difference between teachings and parables. What is that?
Yeah, this is another good Michael Lilborn Williams quote. Generally speaking, the teachings of Jesus are a crystal clear understanding of the Hebrew Scriptures. The parables of Jesus are about the soon coming fulfillment of the Hebrew Scriptures.
Mm, I like that. Did I say that?
You sure did.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I thought for sure it was you, but if you insist.
Or if you insist, I'll take the credit for it.
There you go. Let's give it to Daniel. It's like Don used to say, we don't even know who said what anymore. We don't know where God begins and we end, or vice versa. And the gospel's gotten so good we give credit everywhere we can, but us getting credit is just no longer necessary. We don't know who said what. And that's a wonderful place to be out of the, man, I remember people hearing. I remember being on both ends of that.
Yeah.
And it was so uncomfortable. And I'm just so glad not to experience that discomfort. So, Daniel, what are we going to do?
Well, I wanted to make one more comment before we jump into this, Michael, is another aspect of this following the teachings and commandments of Christ is almost the empowerment for a lot of Christians for that comes based on a personal relationship with Jesus. And I think that's what we see through the apostles who write about that. Apart from Apollos and apart from Paul, you have these disciples that walked with Christ and had that personal relationship with Christ. And so based on walking and talking and seeing the miracles of Christ firsthand, that's what the disciples and apostles wanted to relive and transfer on to their followers. And that's what Christianity has become today. I mean, I used to stand up on the stage all the time and say, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. Wow. You know, Michael and I had another conversation you and I have had many, many times, but it certainly is, the gospel is very personal. I accept it personally. It impacts my life personally. But by making Jesus a personal Lord and a personal Savior,
through a personal experience.
Yeah. Through a personal experience is that it sets up in us and them, a me and them.
Really?
Well, does. I have this relationship. What about you?
Yeah.
But that's not the work of the cross. The work of the cross was universal. It was for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And so I think as we go through these teachings, that's an understanding that where did these teachings come from? A lot of it came from because of the apostles and the disciples that did have a physical, personal relationship with Jesus. They wanted to continue that. And that's where these doctrines a lot are founded out of.
It really is. And to, as we've been understanding over the last few decades, the, you know, I to say that there's a difference between Paul and the other disciples is such a, an understatement, to say the least.
Yeah.
And we've been hitting that home, and because it's vitally important to see that. But it's not just us who say the difference is there. Paul said the difference is there, and also the disciples said the difference was there. And they really were. I think you put it so well, Daniel. They were trying to reclaim the glory days.
Mm-hmm.
And so what were they doing? They were trying to remember everything Jesus told them. Well, what we're going to find out is that a lot of the things that Jesus told them was fulfilled at the cross. And obviously through the teachings that are presented in the pseudographicals and also in Peter, James, and the Elder John is that they are still clinging to those teachings, trying to get this to work again, like it used to work. So many times, and again, we want you to understand that both of us have made these pursuits. So we know where it comes from. It comes from a good heart in really wanting this. But what happens in the process of claiming personal faith, personal Lord, personal Savior, all of that, to every degree that you go into that, the personal becoming the sons of God, something left to do is every degree that we take away from understanding the gospel. That's why the work of the cross becomes inconsequential to so many groups, is because it is such a personal relationship with Jesus, and it was a they did have a personal relationship. But, you know, I was thinking about that, Daniel. What did they get out of their personal relationship with Jesus? He was their accuser.
Yeah.
I just like, my goodness, why is it that you have no faith? Why is it that I've been with you so long and you still don't understand? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? My God, what's wrong with you?
Could you not just wait 1 hour?
Couldn't you even stay awake an hour? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? So, you know, that kind of doesn't hold water to say that a personal relationship with Jesus is what you want. If you want a personal accuser, then go for a personal relationship. But I don't carry out a personal relationship with Jesus, although I take it personally what he did.
Yeah.
And but it was for the whole world.
Yeah. You know, if we just look at science, you know, look at gravity. You know, gravity is a universal truth for everybody, but it affects us personally. You know, if I'm holding my cell phone in my hand right now, you know, gravity is going to affect the way I place that down and the way I navigate through my personal world. But it's a universal truth that's for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And by comparison, then it would be almost as silly to be going around testifying about how gravity affected your life today.
Yeah.
What we want is the gospel to become so known that we already know that everybody knows that God and man and heaven and earth are all one thing, just like gravity.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, we think that nation shall no longer rise up against nation.
Yeah.
Because the war is over.
Woo, doggy. Well, Michael, we, in the process of preparing, have discovered a great list of commandments.
So generous of them.
Yeah. And we, on purpose, are not going to expose this list quite yet, the founders of this list, if you will. Yeah, so we found this list online. And Michael, once again, Christianity has done a lot of work for us.
They have, and we are greatly appreciative. Now, as we go through these, we want you to know that these are presented as, now they didn't come up with these things. Obviously, these are just quotes from the teachings of Jesus. But they have come up with this list as things that you are to keep and do.
Yeah.
Because that's what Jesus said. You're to keep and do these. So they mentioned this, and we went through a great deal of their website. It was kind of like reading 1 John.
Yeah.
You know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. And they made the statements that, you know, so how do I keep the commandments and the teachings of Christ? Well, first off, you got to know them, right? That's what they said. And then they said, after you know them, but then how do I keep them? Oh, it's not you that keeps them. It's Christ in you that keeps them.
Yeah.
So there is, so automatically the excuses are built into this. So like then, but they go on and say, but you got to keep the teachings of Jesus if you want a relationship with Jesus, is what they said. Is that not true?
Yeah, that's correct.
If you want a relationship with Jesus, you have to keep the commandments and teachings. And Jesus said it, that, I mean, Jesus didn't even die for you unless you're his friend.
Yeah.
And, but Paul taught that, while we were yet sinners, not friends, while we were yet sinners. See, that was worth you sticking in here this morning, is to find out that Jesus didn't die for his friends. Jesus died for his enemies. And who was an enemy? We were all enemies. We were all strangers and aliens and enemies of God. But if you happen to be a follower of Mirror Bible or the aforementioned, nobody was ever an enemy to God, but then you miss out on the power of this conflict resolution that now is a part of our DNA, our spiritual DNA. A part of it is conflict resolution.
Well, there you took away another one of my favorite songs. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God.
Oh, my goodness. If we gave a list, and I think we're going to come up with one, of the things that we have that's been taken away from us, that the gospel has taken away from us. It's quite a list, and we're going to publish that probably within the next couple of weeks or so.
Well, how about we jump into this list, Michael?
Let's do it. What is the first thing that comes up on this list? Now, there's more than a couple of dozen of these.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to take us a while to go through them. But we want to, because this is such a, this is the exit button. Oh, well, I just follow the teaching. Well, I believe, blah, blah, blah. I think this, that, and that. Well, I just follow the teachings of Jesus. That's the exit.
Mm.
That's what the statement is. I don't want to think. I don't want to research. I don't want to study. I'm taking this exit.
Mm.
And that exit is, I just, I can see the curve in the exit. That's why I'm doing that. And you hit it kind of fast and have to put on the brakes real quick then. But the exit is, I just want to keep teachings of Christ.
Mm.
I just follow Jesus' teachings. Mm. I just follow Jesus' teachings. Even Islam teaches you to follow the teachings of Jesus.
Mm. Well, number one is to abide in him. John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Oh, and then comes the teaching of how to abide in the vine.
Yeah.
I remember the song, and you know it too. Abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. Love, joy, health, peace, he has made them mine. I have prosperity, power, and victory, abiding in the vine. Hey.
I don't remember that one. I don't think I heard
that
one.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you just weren't that smart. Abiding in the vine. Yeah, so we did that. And like I say, then comes the teachings about how do you abide in the vine.
Mm.
And if you don't abide in the vine, but Paul did some teaching on this that, which one supports which one? Is it the vine that supports the branch or the tree, or the tree that supports the fruit and the limbs and all of that? So, Jesus has really laid out what looks like an impossible, absolute reversal of anything that could be compared to natural.
Mm.
Do you have to tell a peach to abide in a peach tree?
Mm, come on.
Do you have to tell a grape? I could go with a lot of analogies here. Do you have to tell a grape to abide in the vine?
Mm.
Now, come on now. That's why those grape vineyard tenders, they're out there telling those little grapes, now abide in the vine. Now, you gotta put some effort. Now, you've got to abide in the vine. If you don't, good Lord, you're just not going to become anything. So, you have to abide in the vine.
Mm.
No, they know that is not true. They know that the vine causes the grape to abide.
Yeah. And, in this context here in John chapter 15, Jesus said, if you ain't bearing fruit, I'm cutting you off and throwing you into the fire.
Yeah. So the, it's like, I don't like my hand. My hand hasn't been working for a while. It hasn't done enough work. It hasn't done this. I'm just going to cut it off.
Mm.
It's the very same thing if you use the principle of the body as opposed to a vine, which those illustrations are interchangeable, if you will, it seems. And But here, Jesus is talking about the vine actually examining its fruit and it cutting it off from itself.
Mm.
So if I say I am living by the teachings of Jesus, then I have to put the effort into abiding in the vine. Now, can you think of anything, Daniel, about the gospel that would say that that's absolutely the reverse of that, maybe?
Well, if we are one with the vine, if we and the vine are one, how can we not abide in
it? Yeah. Well, and that is the thing. That's why he made us one with him, is that there really is no longer this definition between the two.
Yeah. There's not the vine and the branch. The vine and the branch have become one.
It's all the same thing. Mm. So what is the fruit? The only thing I can tell you that I know of is that the fruit is righteousness. Mm-hmm. Would that be a true statement?
Yeah. I mean, the Bible talks about that, the fruit of righteousness.
Yeah. So righteousness is the only thing that would. So, I mean, it's obviously the most important. If there's others, mm-hmm. go talk amongst yourselves. I don't want to talk about it. But the fruit, the value of the fruit and the is the righteousness that is in the vine. So then what we would do is look at the after the cross and see how righteousness abides in us now. Now, remember, Daniel, we went into that, and it's almost like that through imputed righteousness, that would be supportive of that abiding in the vine, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, and the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, to the glory and the praise of God.
Yeah, and I doubt very seriously that that's plural.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. I'm sure the word is singular. And because the only thing that can really make something plural is, I know there's O's and E's and different things like that, but do you have anything there that, I mean, it could be plural. I'm not, just like we said, I mean, the most important one we know is definitely righteousness. But what does that say there? Put Daniel on the spot here, right in the middle of the show.
It's singular in the Greek
and it
dictionary.
Is singular.
Yeah, it's singular. Yeah,
of course. So the fruit of righteousness is the only fruit. So what is the fruit that Jesus is talking about? This is very important. So let's get right down to it. He's talking about the fruit. If you do not produce righteousness.
Oh, my God.
He'll cut you off.
Mm.
So is that not the fruit? I mean, can we all agree that even if you believe it's fruits, fruity fruits, juicy fruits,
Fruit Loops,
Fruit Loops, anything you want. Do you agree that righteousness is at least a part of it?
Yeah.
So would it be correct for us to say that Jesus said, if you don't produce righteousness, I will cut you off.
Mm.
Yeah. So we were given a chance. So what is Jesus actually talking about here? Well, he's talking about something that the Hebrew scriptures already had a conclusion about, and that is there is none that has produced the fruit of righteousness, no, not one.
Mm.
So this already had a conclusion before Jesus ever taught on it.
Yeah.
So he's making sure. I think one of the things that, and of course it's showing up right here at the start, one of the things that we're going to find is that Jesus is making sure that people understand the true and righteous demands of the Hebrew scriptures.
Mm.
The parables, which we aren't going to get into in this particular series, is understanding of how those Hebrew scriptures were about to be fulfilled at the work of the cross. So we now have righteousness, but it's not because of our attempts to abide. It's because of his attempts. And the word abide there, I wonder what that word is.
Put me on the spot again.
I'm doing it to you again.
It is the Greek word meno, a primary verb to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy, to abide, to continue to dwell.
So that, I mean, you've got to get in a place and you are the one who maintains, you are the one who's making sure the vine is successful.
Wow. And, you know, I think that's real similar to, this is a verb, but later in John, when he says that I go to prepare a place for you, that is the Greek word mone, which I think would be the noun version, the noun of this word. So you have the to abide is, you know, doing it, and a mone is the dwelling place. It's actually the physical, you know, person, place, or thing.
That's the chapter where Jesus said, I go to prepare a
mone.
Yeah. A place. And at the end of it, he says, my Father and I will come and we will abide in the mone. Mm. So that's really amazing, because here the vine and the branch have decided to dwell in the fruit.
Oh, that's great.
I knew being a fruit wasn't that bad of a thing. So,
well, Michael, I just think in conclusion to abiding in him, if you want to follow the teachings of Christ and abide in him and bear much fruit, then show me that you are producing righteousness. And I think this type of righteousness is going to be self-righteousness. So show me through your abiding, show me through your ability to abide in him, your ability to produce righteousness. And if you want to be a follower of the teachings of Christ, that is what Christ is demanding, that you produce righteousness. And if you can't, he's going to cut you off and throw you into the fire.
Yeah. Well, so on this very first one, I mean, I didn't know any of this stuff before we started. but our attention, the things we've learned for the last 30 years has put us in a trajectory to be able to go through the teachings of Jesus now, more than last month, more than last year, more than any other time. We are now in a position to actually go through these and let them speak for themselves. Remember, we are doing an exegesis of Jesus's teachings. related. The words are not related at all. But we're wanting to see, what was Jesus saying here? We're not trying to put ourselves into this. And it's vitally important. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're in there, that's what we're going to look for. But if Jesus said to search the scriptures, because in them we are going to find him, then what else should we find in his teachings? Ourselves? But I think the wiser thing and the most likely thing is that in this teaching, at least so far, we have found Jesus in his own teaching. We have found the Christ and what this would translate into. So our question now is this an applicable teaching for after the cross? What would you say, Daniel?
No.
Okay. That was quick. and boy, when Daniel says no, he means no. So, you know, I tried to get him to quit his job and move down here so we could study the Bible all the time. He said, no. Actually, he said, I'd love to, but I can't.
Yeah.
Folks, you're not going to run into lack of want to because things aren't getting done. We just have such limitations based on budget, and we're not going to take up an offering. So, but this is incredible. I've never stopped to think about this teaching of Jesus.
No.
About if you don't abide in me. That's kind of like, if you're not my friends, I won't die for you.
No.
And I won't die for you because you're not my friends, because you're not keeping my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I won't leave you hanging around because if you don't produce righteousness, the fruit of righteousness, if you don't do that by trying your attempts to abide in me rather than me. And what did Jesus say? He said at the end of that whole chapter about preparing this place, now he's talking about the verb of it. He said, me and the Father will come and we will conduct all of this in you.
Wow.
So we're coming to live in your grapes. boy, that's really beautiful. I would have listened to this whole show just to get that out of this. It's amazing.
Yeah. So now instead of us having to try to bear fruit, we are the fruit and we're one with the vine, and it's all been done for us. And now we just enjoy the juiciness of being fruity.
Yes. So we could conclude by saying he abides in us.
Mm.
We do not abide in him.
Wow.
Right?
Ooh. Wow.
Abiding in the grape. Abiding in the grape.
The vine is abiding in the grape.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Well, this is number one out of these. We're going to go through several, at least more than two dozen of these.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can see the template from where we're coming from. It is foolish to take the teachings of Jesus and not enter into the understanding of that. The events that happened after the teachings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That something happened after the teachings. And if the teachings is what you're going to live by, then why was the cross carried out?
Mm-hmm.
So if abiding in the vine was good enough, then why did Jesus do something so he could abide in us? He and the Father would come and abide in us. I'm just thrilled, Daniel. I can see on your face that this is like, man, what I could have done with that, even as a Pentecostal preacher, if I'd have just had this one. That's why people steal our teachings from us all the time. They take them out of context, and then they give people a little bit of breathing room. That's what I did with teachings on grace. In the early 90s, late 80s and early 90s, I gave people breathing space, you know, to be able to stick with the Word of Faith movement. You know, it's like,
I remember teaching this, John chapter 15. So I remember teaching it before I started learning about grace, and it was all about, you know, producing a good lifestyle, you know, stay away from sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and produce a holy, righteous lifestyle. Just what we exactly talked about, that I, through my actions and deeds, will show that I'm abiding in the vine by living a certain way. But then when I started understanding grace, I kind of changed that a little bit by saying that all of that will happen, but it's not on your own accord. It's because God is living in you. And just like he was saying, the more of this relationship you have with him, then this lifestyle will just kind of happen. And I think I remember one of the messages I preached was, boop, fruit happens.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen. But that was wrong because, you know, that is a view of grace that people feel is that grace is the ability, God's ability to keep the law. And that if you're living in that vine, then automatically, as even the writer of this article that we're working with states, is that it's out of that personal relationship that he's going to keep the commandments for you.
Exactly.
But it didn't work, Michael.
No, it did not. And remember, we caught ourselves as we had applied also. How many chapters did we go through, which I think was in 2 Corinthians, of the grace to give?
Yeah. Wow.
Oof. You know, that was an upside down presentation of grace there. Also, if you have grace, then the fruit will be there.
Mm.
And if the fruit's not there, you don't have righteousness, because the gift of righteousness come by the grace of God.
Yeah.
And if the fruit's not there in your giving, we know you guys, and look at how many judgments there have been of, well, you don't really believe, you don't abide in Jesus. You don't, you're not a true believer because you do this and you don't do that. And it has put the Christian community in a position that they are still in to this day after 2,000 years of remember, we used to call ourselves fruit inspectors.
Yep.
Did you do that?
Yeah, we sure did.
I am nobody's judge, but I am a fruit inspector.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. So, the job of fruit inspector is also eliminated by the gospel that resulted out of the work of the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We don't need any judges, and we don't need any fruit inspectors.
Mm. We are already righteous.
Mm. That's it. Mm. So, I mean, this is... So basically, the teaching that Jesus gave here was fulfilled. Would that be a good way to put this, Daniel?
Yeah, I concur. It's done.
So we are abiding in him, and he is abiding in us. Mm. So the thing that made this work was not us singularly abiding in him, but he had to abide in us for us to be able to abide in him.
Wow. Michael. My God, I'm just this one. We've only done one. And look, this is going to be a great series.
Oh, man, I am thrilled about it. I've always wanted to do this. It has been a bucket list. I'm just blown away, Daniel, at what we have done recently.
Yeah.
And I really think that we have... a lot of even our GRs are on overload.
Mm.
And folks, we would slow down, but we can't. I mean, it's like we're driving through the town, throwing supplies out as the truck moves.
Mm.
You know, you need water here. Here's a 12 pack. There's a 12 pack. There's a 12 pack. There's a 12 pack. Everybody's just dying for water. And then the next trucks, but before you ever have a chance to drink that water, we're bringing the next truckload in. Here's another load. And before you even... And so what's happening, I think, is we've got so much water out there. Bottled water is our analogy here. We've got so much bottled water out there. Your shelves are full. You're full. And now the streets and the drains are full. the tendency would be to draw back a little bit. But we can't.
Mm.
Folks, we must deliver. So so that's what we're going to do. And now there's some of you that are keeping up, but I understand there are some people that really feel overwhelmed at this time.
No.
But please just try to provide yourself with some time just to listen. We're not asking you to do or perform anything. But all of this is just us understanding the completed work of the cross.
You know, and I think the other part of it too, Michael, is understanding that we understand this information that we are putting out there, all the tsunami of information we're putting out there, is not just for us, but it's for the generations to come. And you and I mean, even as we're putting it out, we're not absorbing all of it. I mean, my God, I mean, how many times have we revisited some of these topics that we've talked about in the last couple of years and been like, I forgot about that, you know, like, yeah, we put that out there. And so the absorption of it is something that it'll take time, yeah. And it's for the generations to come and not just for ourselves either.
Yeah, for sure. And for Daniel and I to sit here and tell you we have absorbed all this, I mean, half the time we sit around and think back over what we've just accomplished, and we just sit with our mouths hanging open, and we don't even know how to have a conversation about it, Hart.
No.
Because the volume and the intensity, the depth of it is so profound. It is like an out-of-the-body experience thing, almost.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying we've had an out-of-the-body experience and we've been caught up to the third heaven. In understanding, I think what Paul was saying there was that this position, this is a place of understanding that he went to. Wow, this is like, you know, compared to just understanding a little bit, this is the third heaven. But anyway, we do understand that this is a lot of information. And it's like I said on Tuesday, I am 71 years old, and most people that I know are at 71 are sitting back examining what all they've accomplished. And that is that, but that is, and while that's satisfying, gosh, I see people going into retirement now, and I feel sorry for them. I drive by and I watch these old guys out mowing their lawn, or the older ladies out mowing the lawn and trimming the hedges and stuff. And there's something of a heartache in there for me, or walking the dog. You just would not believe how much this, and I'm just thinking, gosh, my greatest desire for you is that is fulfilling, or you have something else other than mowing the lawn or walking the dog or trimming the rose bush to feel productive and fulfilling.
Mm.
I don't have any good thing to say about old age at all. I'm not, you know, age is just a number. And mine's unlisted. Mine's listed, and I am going to use it and publish it as often as I can. Because I want sympathy. I want a lot of it, you know. So, and you guys know I'm being facetious here a little bit.
Well, Michael, we got our work cut out for us. We got one done here.
Man, you know, I was fully prepared that this might take us a month or two, but geez, this is going to be voluminous in scope, in depth. I learned things today about this commandment. This was a commandment. This wasn't just a teaching. Because when the consequences are, if you don't do this, if you don't produce this, I will cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows we need to stop the Christian doctrines that teach there are certain things that will cause you to get cut off from God. And Paul covered it really good, that neither life nor death nor principalities of powers or preachers or teachers, whatever, you know, add to the list as you want. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And if you're not separated from the love of God, you're not separated from God.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm excited about the road in front of us, Michael. And I'm happy to know that I do not have to work to produce fruit in my life. That I do not have to abide in Christ. Christ decided to abide in me.
Yeah, what a wonderful thing to know.
Wow.
He lives in us. And by virtue of the fact he does, we live in him. Mm-hmm. But it is not our initiation. It's his initiation. And we just be.
That's good news.
That is good news.
And so it is, we must leave you, family and friends. If you'd like to know anything about the Gospel Revolution, then call our office on
832-318-9339.
And speak to us about how you want to participate. Or go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the connect link. You can find us on your favorite social media network, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Please be sure to hit that subscribe, share, and like button on whatever platform you are listening. Now it's good night from Daniel Rouse in the frozen tundra.
And it is good evening from good night, good evening, whatever you're listening to this right now, from Michael Lilborn Williams. Folks, I'm just dumbstruck at what's happened and happening in the Gospel Revolution. We are all so fortunate just to be a part of this. Mm. And we thank you for being a part with us. We think we're changing history, and we're either mentally ill or we're right. You know? I'm open. Mm. So, but this is, there's so many distractions away from the truth of the gospel and the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we don't mean to pick on any individual people, but we are going to pick on these doctrines, mm-hmm. because they are removing the power of God out of people's thought life. So the things that could be produced by the gospel, there are things, let me put it another way. The things that could be taken out of you through the power of God. Because I've never experienced the gospel doing anything except taking away. Mm. And suddenly, what appears is what's been there all along that I just didn't know about.
Wow.
That's happening to you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you're just finding out how wonderful you and life really is, mm. the inside life. Inside life is what I have now, regardless of my outside life.
Yeah. I'm wonderful.
I am wonderful. I don't even need a mirror to look in. <and
know it. laughs> We sure hope that you enjoyed today's PowerCast. And remember, we'll be here to do the same thing all over again next week. Can we do it?
Better.
Since you're knocking on the door, you're begging to come in, yeah. Unaware that all the wildness been knocking from within. You are the love you seek, a perfect gift you need. Righteous, holy, yeah, yeah, yeah. When you're lost and alone, gotta be nothing to complete. It's not a thing that you need, you're the love. Just remember to breathe and take a second off. Look, I'm just trying to remind you that you're perfectly divine, flawlessly designed. When you feel all set,
deconstructing religion and barbecuing the sacred cows of Christianity before your very eyes. You are listening to
Gospel Revolution.